Oh, well, there you go. It's covered a lot of territory there. I'm not sure what... I was asked about this earlier. I mean, there was a lot of talk about various sorts of cooking, and cakes and sweets and fruit and candy apples. And I was thinking, like, what is the history of candy apples here? I don't really know where they began, but I know that it's been around ever since I was a child, and I think long before that. I think candy apples, at least in this country, have been around as long as people have been in this country. So it must have been invented a long time ago somewhere. I remember, just some of my very earliest memories of fall and Halloween and that sort of time, because that's where I remember candy apples from, is Halloween in particular, because that's, I guess, is when your average kid in America gets to feast on more sweet things than usual. The two times of the year that it seems like kids, at least in my generation growing up, really got to hit candy very hard, so to speak, were Halloween and Christmas. Because at Christmas time, there were always cookies and things like that around. You know, it was just seemed to be a season for sweets, treats of various sorts. And Halloween was particularly the especially sweet stuff, the candy, towards the candy end of the range, whereas like Christmas was more towards cookies or cakes or pies, that kind of thing. So that's my memory of candy apples in particular. As far as candy fruits, I'm not really sure. I'm not sure what that means. I've had chocolate covered strawberries, which I suppose is a candy fruit, a fruit turned into sort of a candy thing. But that's an unusual kind of thing. It's not a common thing to have. It's more like a, what would you call it? Like a gourmet sweet experience. So I don't think that's what is meant in this instance. Candy fruits, candied fruits? I mean, candy apple is just an apple that has some kind of sweet stuff put on it. And I've seen chocolate-covered apples and caramel-covered apples and caramel apples with nuts on them and chocolate-covered apples with sprinkles of sweet things all over them and that kind of thing. Some fairly elaborate variations on that theme can be had at you know, sort of specialty candy shops. I know over in, Tuscola, I think it is, the Flesser's Candy Kitchen. Over there, they have all sorts of what they call gourmet candy apples that they sell to various places around here. And I've actually gotten to watch them make those on one occasion, and it was interesting to see all the different kinds of swirls and things they put on there. I doubt if I would like anything like that very much. I used to like caramel apples, but I used to like sweet things much more than I do now. When I was a little kid, sweet things were very attractive, and I couldn't get enough of them. But as I've gotten older, it's more like I definitely have a limit. Like, too much sweet is just too much for me, and I prefer things that are slightly sweetened. A sweetness as a seasoning rather than as the point, if you know what I mean. So I don't know. I mean, candy fruits, there are candied fruits that we have that people use in baking, and that's something you see particularly around Christmas time, is candied fruits. I'm not sure how they're made or what that even is, whether it's like a pseudo fruit made out of some, you know, sugary substance, or if it's actually, it started as fruit at some point in its life and then was transformed through some kind of baking process into something that's mostly sugar. I really don't know. But I have seen things like that. And that's about the end of my experience with candy apples and candy fruits and all sorts of things. So I don't know. I've long suspected that cooking in Japan, or nah, maybe cooking is too broad a term, but just the experience of working with food and presenting food and is a much more elaborate and carefully thought out process than it tends to be here in the States. I'm sure, you know, there are chefs that are every bit as involved in really elaborate cooking here as in anywhere in the world. But just as a general rule, I suspect your average American walking around is associated with or comes in contact with really well thought out and really deeply imagined, if I can put it that way, food choices than perhaps your average person in Japan would be. Because it just seems like Japan has a much longer history of caring about things like art and food and just the art of living seems to be a more have a longer history of really deep thought and careful attention. Here it seems to be more casual. It's like, oh well, you eat whatever you know you can fill up on, and if it doesn't taste good, put more salt on it or put more sugar on it. That's why you go to the store here and you see these extreme flavors, you know, being advertised, because that's kind of, you know, if you want more or better taste, just turn up the volume of the taste, so to speak. The existing taste, you know, palate that you have to work with, just make it more so rather than try harder to really come up with something that really creates an unusual or a deeper taste experience. So I don't know. That's just my impression of cooking in the U.S. versus cooking in Japan. I tend to find Japanese cuisine as a more artful and enjoyable experience. There's more subtlety involved. There's more attention to detail involved. And so I don't have a lot to say from the perspective of a Westerner about sweets or anything else, because here fresh fruit is not really so much fresh most of the time. It's just in the grocery store and you go pick it up and it was probably picked months ago and on the other side of the world and shipped here, and it has about as much flavor as a piece of cardboard most of the time. But, you know, it's available and you can eat it and it looks good, and that seems to be about the extent of it. So I don't know. Perhaps someday I will get to go to Japan and I will see for myself what the possibilities are in terms of sort of everyday food over there versus everyday food over here. But for now, I remain relatively unimpressed by American cuisine overall, if I could put it that way. Anyway, we're getting towards the end of the show here. I'm supposed to mention, there's a note here for me to mention the rally this weekend. There was a talk last week about DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention that this Saturday, which is tomorrow, at 11:30 a.m., there's going to be a march in support of DACA, starting at WCIA, which is on Green and Neal Street, and going to the News Gazette office at Walnut and Main. So 11:30 a.m., outside of WCIA on Green and Neal in downtown Champaign, and then walking to the News Gazette at Walnut and Main. So that's something you can do if you support Dreamers and the DACA recipients. Also on Wednesday, February 7th, from 5 to 6, in front of the alma mater, there's going to be a candlelight vigil there in support of Dreamers. This is all in hopes of encouraging politicians to act in a positive way on this issue rather than continue to play games with these people's lives. Anyway, we're running out of time here. I don't know if I even have time for the last song. I'm going to sneak it in here, even though it's going to run over time. This is from the group Haim, I believe it is, and it's called Want You Back.
Some things are long forgotten. Some things were never said. We were on one endless road. but I had a